Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're plunging into the fascinating and, let's be honest, often bewildering world of meme coin trading.
It definitely can be.
Yeah, forget just following the hype, because we've got this article that really pulls back the curtain on the surprisingly sophisticated strategies that, well, pro traders are using to try and identify the next potential moonshot.
Exactly. We're diving into the hunt for the ultimate meme coin sniping strategy by AvAI. It's fairly recent, May 2025 on Medium.
Right.
And this isn't about, you know, blindly chasing pumps. It's really about understanding the evolving science almost behind spotting promising meme coins before they take off.
So kind of getting an insider's perspective.
Think of it like that, yeah. Understanding how the sharpest minds, or at least those trying to be sharp, are navigating this incredibly fast-moving space.
Okay, so what's our goal here today? What are we trying to extract?
Our mission, really, is to dig into what makes a strong buy signal in the meme coin universe, and crucially, how the various trading tools are being used and sometimes, you know, deliberately manipulated.
Okay, let's get right into it then. The article talks about resonance signals. What's the core idea there?
At its core, a resonance signal in meme coin trading is basically an indicator. It suggests a coin might be about to experience some significant price movement.
Okay, a signal for movement.
Right. But the article points out that the older methods, they might have just tracked one thing, like maybe a sudden jump in social media mentions or a spike in new holders. Simple stuff.
But things have changed. It sounds like it's gotten much more complex. So it's not enough anymore to just see a coin suddenly trending on Twitter.
Not really, no. Not if you want a reliable edge. The article highlights this move towards looking at multiple factors together. They actually outline three key dimensions of these modern resonance signals.
Three dimensions. Okay, what's the first one?
The first is positioning analysis.
Positioning.
Yeah. The key insight here is that it's not just what is being bought, but who is buying and when they're buying. That provides a potentially significant early signal.
So who's involved matters.
Hugely. Are we seeing what's known as smart money? These are experienced traders, folks with a track record of profitable trades moving in. Are influential figures, KOLs, key opinion leaders taking positions, or maybe even hints of insider activity?
Okay.
Knowing the who and the when, it just offers crucial context beyond just a price jump.
Interesting. It's like checking to see if the savviest investors are starting to quietly accumulate. Makes sense. What's the second dimension we should be looking at?
The second one is market-making behavior.
Market-making behavior.
Yeah, and the crucial takeaway here is trying to differentiate between genuine, sustained activity and just, you know, bot-driven noise. You need to gauge the real momentum.
How do you do that?
Well, this involves looking at the actual trading volume on the blockchain, that transparent record of all the transactions, and also the growth in the number of real holders, not just, like, thousands of automated accounts popping up.
Right, filtering out the fakes.
Exactly. Is there consistent trading activity? Does it suggest growing interest and liquidity? It's almost like seeing if the coin is being actively prepped for a significant move by market makers or early believers.
So it's not just about a quick, flashy spike, but more of a sustained level of engagement that suggests real underlying interest.
Got it.
And the third piece of this puzzle is social sentiment.
Exactly. And again, it's nuanced. It's not just the buzz, the sheer volume of chatter, but who is buzzing and the nature of that buzz that truly matters.
Okay, so quality over quantity again.
Pretty much. This involves tracking the amount and, importantly, the kind of discussion on platforms like Twitter, paying attention to mentions by prominent KOLs, and even noting endorsements or perceived endorsements from major figures like, you know, CZ or Elon Musk.
Big names.
Yeah. But the article really stresses that a truly reliable signal isn't just based on one of these things in isolation. You can't just look at Twitter or just look at holders.
It's the interplay, the combination.
Yes, exactly. It's the combination of these signals working together. And interestingly, the article makes the point that the weight you give to each of these factors can even shift depending on the specific type of coin you're looking at.
Ah, that's fascinating. So it's not a one-size-fits-all formula.
Absolutely not. For example, a coin driven purely by, say, a celebrity endorsement might initially see social sentiment as a much more heavily weighted factor.
Makes sense.
Whereas a coin maybe built around a strong organic community might rely more on that steady growth in real holders and consistent market activity. The signals, the analysis, it needs to adapt.
Okay, that provides a good framework for understanding signals. Now, let's shift focus a bit to the tools traders use to try and actually identify these signals. The article makes a really important distinction here, talking about the quality versus the quantity of these tools.
Yes, this is crucial. And it leads into this issue of fake smart money.
Yeah, that part really caught my attention. Can you explain that a bit more? What are fake smart money wallets?
Well, you know, in the crypto world, which can often be less than transparent,
right,
it's actually relatively easy for people, maybe market manipulators or even the teams behind a coin, to create multiple wallets. And they make these wallets trade in a way that mimics the behavior of successful investors.
Why do they do that?
To create a misleading impression of high demand or expert interest. Basically, to trick people, or at least trick basic tracking tools. These fake smart money wallets can easily fool simpler algorithms or dashboards that just flag buys from wallets labeled as smart.
So just seeing a wallet tagged as smart money buying into a coin isn't automatically a great sign. It could be a setup.
Precisely. It's not a guaranteed sign of success at all. The article argues pretty strongly that the real advantage comes from analyzing the data much, much more deeply.
Okay, how deep?
It's about the depth and the precision of the information you're looking at. So instead of just looking at surface level stuff like simple buy notifications, the article calls them GMGN scrapes. Mm. Basically just seeing good morning, good night type buy-sell alerts. Sophisticated traders, or those aiming to be, are examining the complete history of these wallets. They're looking at their overall profit and loss record over time. How consistently profitable are their trades? What are their typical patterns for exiting positions? Do they dump quickly or hold?
Well, that sounds like it requires a significant amount of, well, actual research. Way beyond just getting an automated alert.
It really does. The article emphasizes this need to actively identify and filter out these deceptive signals, these fakes.
How do people actually do that?
Well, it often involves manually observing on-chain data, going back to those transparent blockchain transactions we mentioned, then cross-referencing that with social media activity, maybe seeing if the wallet owner talks about their trades, and basically developing a detailed understanding of individual wallet behaviors over a longer period.
So you build your own reliable database.
Exactly. Hmm. Building your own trusted list of genuine smart money, influential KOLs, and whales those large holders. It takes time and effort.
So it's really about building your own informed perspective, your own intelligence, rather than just blindly trusting readily available tools or labels.
That's a great way to put it.
Okay, that leads us nicely into the next point. Categorizing and tagging these influential traders once you've identified them, why is having this detailed classification so important?
Well, because, as you can imagine, not all influential traders operate in the same way. Their motivations and strategies can be vastly different.
Okay.
Think about it. A large investor, a whale, who is maybe gradually accumulating a big position for the long term, that sends a very different signal compared to, say, a KOL who might jump in and out of positions really quickly based on whatever hype is fleeting at the moment.
Right. Completely different intentions.
Totally different. So the article highlights the importance of categorizing these traders based on various factors. Like their initial entry points, are they sniping super early, almost as soon as the coin launches?
Or are they chasing?
Or are they buying in after a significant price increase, maybe showing signs of FOMO, that fear of missing out?
Okay, entry timing. What else?
Also, are their trading decisions mainly driven by the current online narrative, the story around the coin? Or are they based on deeper data analysis, maybe fundamentals, if the coin has any?
Narrative versus data.
Got it.
And finally, what's their typical holding period? Are they just making quick flips, short-term punts? Or are they holding onto their investments for longer, maybe accumulating?
So you're building profiles, essentially.
Exactly. The article even mentions Av AI developing what they call a 16-personality wallet testing system.
Wow, 16 personalities for wallets. That sounds incredibly granular.
It does, doesn't it? And it really illustrates the level of detailed analysis that these advanced traders or tool providers are aiming for.
And how does understanding these different styles help?
Well, by understanding these different trading styles, you can interpret their actions much more accurately, and that helps you refine your own trading strategy. For example, seeing a FOMO buy from a trader you've tagged as a known short-term flipper, that might actually be a red flag for you if you're looking for a longer-term hold, not a buy signal.
Right. Context is everything. That makes perfect sense. Now, this next idea was a bit surprising to me, actually. The potential benefit of keeping these signal tools limited, keeping their availability restricted. Why would that be advantageous? Isn't wider access better?
You'd think so intuitively, but the reasoning behind this comes down to pretty basic market dynamics.
Yeah.
If a particular signal tool, especially one identifying very early opportunities, becomes too widely known and used,
yeah.
the very act of hundreds or thousands of people acting on the same early signal simultaneously can actually mess things up. It can have negative consequences for the coin's price action.
So.
It can create these huge, unsustainable spikes right at the beginning. Too much buying pressure too early, often followed by sharp drops as those early buyers take profits. It can shorten the lifespan or opportunity window for the coin.
So it's kind of like if everyone gets the secret tip about a really promising new meme coin super early on, the initial surge might be too dramatic, too quick,
yeah.
and then it just collapses.
Exactly that. The article points out that the most effective tools they have observed or developed often restrict their user base significantly. Sometimes to fewer than 10 people.
10 people, wow.
Yeah, some even go further and filter users based on the size of their investment wallets and their established trading styles.
Why filter like that?
To prevent these early signals from turning into what the article calls a self-defeating PvP brawl.
PvP player versus player.
Exactly. A scenario where everyone is just trying to front-run everyone else using the exact same limited information. It kills the edge.
Okay, so widespread access can actually dilute or even destroy the very advantage that the tool is supposed to provide. It turns what could have been an insider advantage into just another crowded public game.
That's the argument, yes. As the article puts it, it transforms an insider play into a public game, diminishing the opportunity.
That's a really insightful point about tool dynamics. However, even with the best signals, the most exclusive tools, the article is very clear that experiencing losses is still unavoidable, right?
Oh, absolutely. Unequivocally. No system, no signal, no matter how sophisticated or exclusive, can guarantee a 100% success rate. Especially not in a market as volatile and, frankly, unpredictable as meme coins.
Yeah, that seems realistic.
The author even shares a bit of a cautionary tale about the risks of blindly following automated copy trading strategies.
Copy trading?
Yeah, where you automatically mimic the trades of another wallet. He highlights how even approaches that seem successful on the surface can lead to pretty significant losses, particularly when the overall market turns down in a bear market.
So automation isn't a silver bullet either.
Definitely not. And this connects directly to the idea that the most substantial gains, those really big wins in meme coins, often come from something else.
It is.
Your own conviction, making your own informed judgments.
Ah, personal belief and analysis.
Precisely. The article gives examples like the Trump or Pepe meme coins, huge successes for some, but the significant profits there often resulted from an individual's strong belief in the underlying narrative, the meme itself, and their willingness to take a calculated risk based on that belief rather than just acting on a technical signal alone.
So it's not just about the data points.
It seems not, for the biggest wins anyway. The article sort of draws a distinction between casual participation, they call playing small, maybe just dabbling, and those who are seriously aiming to, quote, climb the meme coin ladder.
And for those who are serious about this, what's the takeaway?
The message is pretty clear. While signals and tools can be helpful, maybe very helpful, they are absolutely not a substitute for your own thorough analysis, your own logic, and importantly, having robust risk management strategies in place.
You still have to do the work.
You still have to do the work. That's the core message, I think. While these advanced tools and signals can offer valuable insights, the real alpha, you know, that edge everyone's chasing in the market, ultimately lies in your own ability. Your ability to develop a personal framework, apply your own logical reasoning, manage your risk effectively. You just can't outsource your own judgment entirely.
Right. Okay, let's try and wrap this up. Let's recap the key things we've explored today from this article.
Sounds good.
All right, first, we've seen how these resonance signals in meme coin trading have really evolved. They've gone from basic single indicators to these complex multifaceted analyses. They consider who is buying, the actual on-chain trading activity, and the nuances of social media sentiment. It's a combined picture.
Yeah, much more holistic.
Second, we learned that when it comes to trading tools, it's really about quality over quantity.
Mm-hmm.
The depth of the data and the ability to filter out manipulation, those fake wallets, are far more critical than just having access to a ton of basic alerts.
Absolutely critical. Don't trust Verify.
Third, understanding the different behaviors and styles of influential traders through detailed categorization and tagging is crucial for interpreting their actions correctly. Not all smart money acts the same.
Very true. Context matters.
And fourth, that surprising point. Limiting access to powerful signal tools can actually be beneficial sometimes to preserve their effectiveness and avoid those chaotic PvP brawls.
Counterintuitive, but makes sense in context.
And finally, perhaps the most important point, no signal is foolproof. Losses are part of the game. Genuine success in this highly volatile space really demands personal conviction, a well-thought-out individual strategy, and a very realistic understanding of the risks involved. You need your own brain.
Couldn't have said it better myself. It really comes down to combining the external signals with your own internal analysis and judgment.
Okay, so as we wrap up, thinking about this increasing sophistication of trading tools and signals, maybe a final thought for our listeners to chew on.
Yeah, definitely. Here's something to consider. Given how advanced these tools are becoming, how might individual traders like you cultivate your own unique feel or intuition for the market, something that goes beyond just relying on automated signals, however good they are?
Developing a personal edge.
Exactly. What currently undiscovered indicators, maybe qualitative ones or different methods of analysis, might provide a future advantage in this constantly changing landscape. It's really about developing your own internal resonance with the market alongside whatever tools you use. Something to think about.